Please open to the 119th Psalm, Psalm 119, in your Schofield Bible, page 659. We'll be reading verses 67 through 71. Psalm 119, beginning with verse 67 through verse 71. We'll read these verses responsively, and may we please stand, all of us, for the reading of God's Word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good, and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. And let's read the 71st together also. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And let's pray. And Father, thou hast given us this great day. Thank you for this church, and thank you for the privilege and opportunity that we have of being a part of its ministry. We pray for your blessing upon this service, that thou wouldst indeed fill us each with thy spirit to hear thy word, to obey thy word, and bless in a very special way the preaching and our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak to you this morning a little while on the subject, why Mama was so smart. Why Mama was so smart. Our text says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Do you ever wonder why, when your mama was, you were growing up, why your mama always knew the answers? You got a nail in your foot, you never cried daddy, cried mommy. Daddy would have fainted taking the nail out of your foot. I always am amazed when some big old 300-pound bearded grizzly bear who plays for a professional football team, that's put the cameras on him, and that big old guy that just tried to kill 11 other fellas out there gets a sissy look on his face and says, "Hi, Mom." He never says, "Hi, Dad." He says, "Hi, Mom. I want to talk to you about why Mama was so smart." Father, thank you so much for Mama, for my Mama, for everybody else's Mama that's here this morning, and for every Mama who's here. Thank you for their wisdom. Thank you for their genius. Thank you for Mama. Now bless our discussion together. Amen.
Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13:5.
I used to do that again and again. And I memorized it. Still know it. I didn't have to look at it. I could have given it just like that. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I memorized it when I was a little beginner boy. It'd be our memory verse for the beginner department. And I had to learn it. And every night before bedtime, Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13:5. I knew it, but I hadn't learned it. As I saw my mama set the table as I grew up, and we didn't have anything to eat, and I mean we didn't have any food stamps. If we had, we'd have licked them just to taste the backside. But We didn't even have any stamps to lick. But with no food stamps, no welfare, no government check coming, just Mama and me and God. But I can see her putting the only two plates we had on the table, the only two forks we had, and the only two spoons, nothing matched beside the plates, the only two knives we had, and the peanut butter jars for glasses, and no food, no food. And her bow her head and began to pray, "Dear God, thank you for what we're about to eat." And my eyes were wide open, trying to find what it was we were about to eat. What, anything there anybody to eat unless you're a sword swallower? And then my mama thanked the Lord for the food, and I can hear now something like this: "Dear God, I really don't pray for anything for myself, but feed my boy. Please feed my boy." And somebody knock on the door with a box of food or a basket of food while Mama was praying. I knew Hebrews 13:5 and Matthew 6:33, but I learned it at the table. That's what the psalmist meant when he said, "It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might know thy statutes." Matthew 6:33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Matthew 6:33. Memorized it when I was a primary boy. But I never realized or learned it. You see, we come in our lives to, we memorize, we study by reading and repetition. But we do not learn except by affliction. I understood Matthew 6:33 when my mama prayed at the table. I learned it. I knew, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." But 38 years ago this afternoon, 38 years ago this morning, my sister and I, Mother's Day, 1950, my sister and I, having heard that our father had passed away suddenly with a heart attack the day before, went to his house, little one room that he had, and all he left us no money. All he left us was an empty bottle of whiskey, one change of clothes. Had just about that much whiskey in the bottom of a bottle, and one change of clothes. I asked Earlene what she wanted. She took the whiskey. I took the clothes. They didn't fit then, but they do now. But my dad, we went, 38 years ago this morning, we went to that little room Daddy rented. And his total, our total inheritance was a near empty bottle of whiskey, one change of work clothes, and a little toy cannon about that long that he left. That's all. 38 years ago this afternoon, we had his funeral service. 38 years ago, early this morning, my mama and my sister and I, on Mother's Day, 1950, walked by the casket in the O'Neill Funeral Home in Dallas, Texas, the same funeral home that embalmed President Kennedy. And I reached and I touched for the first time in my life a dead body. I'll never forget how it felt. Felt like a piece of stone, his head did. And I kissed his brow. He'd never kissed me. I kissed his brow. And I felt a hand squeeze my arm. I turned to see whose it was. There was nobody there. I could feel the fingers as they squeezed my arm. But nobody was there. It was there I began to learn, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. You see, the best teacher you'll ever have is affliction. It is good for me that I've been afflicted. It is good for me that I've been afflicted. That's why Mama was so smart. Mama had so many afflictions. My Mama had learned so much, not by memorizing alone, not by studying alone, but by the tutor of affliction. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. As a junior boy, I had learned the Beatitudes. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. I memorized it as a boy. Didn't understand it till, or learn it until a few years later, I was pastor of a little church in East Texas. The man who I thought was the best deacon we had turned on me just like that and gave himself to try for the destruction of my ministry. And I loved him as much as I did before he did it. I had read this scripture, had memorized it as a boy, but I never learned it until affliction came. As a college student, I learned Ephesians 5:18, be ye not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. I have memorized it, read it, studied it, could even translate that entire passage from English to Greek and Greek back to English, and the entire second chapter, or the entire fifth chapter of Ephesians. In fact, we did the entire book of Ephesians, where we had to take the English and translate it into Greek and then translate it back to English. And I memorized it and exegeted it. And I just want you to know I know big words like that. As a college chancellor, I'm supposed to be brilliant. And so I read it. Be ye not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. I never learned it until 38 years ago this afternoon. Or tonight. After my father was buried, I went back to his grave as a young preacher. And I said, dear God, I'm not going to leave this place till you do something for me. I'm not going to be a powerless preacher. I'm not going to walk in the pulpit Sunday after Sunday and there be no power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to do it. I'll quit, but I'll not be a powerless preacher. I don't know how long I stayed on my dad's grave. I know it was 38 years ago tonight when I started. And then I returned, and somebody said I spent several days on my face on the grave of my father, buried in a drunkard's grave. This morning early, I went for a few minutes out to the cemetery, mausoleum where my mother's body rests. My mama didn't know this, and she knows it now, and she probably won't speak to me when I get to heaven. But I had Daddy's body taken from a little cemetery in Idlib, Texas. Mr. Depper went down and got it and brought it up here, and my daddy's buried beside my mama. And this morning, I had to thank God for my affliction. I learned Ephesians 5:18. I didn't learn it in college. Memorized it in college. Exegeted it in college. Answered questions on it in college. But I learned it 38 years ago, tonight and tomorrow and the next day. And for the first time in my life, God's power came upon my ministry. I wish you could know what I'm talking about. I wish you could preach in meetings and see people that were hardened suddenly get interested in the sermon. I wish you could see people that came angrily to the service. All of a sudden, while I'm preaching, the dear Holy Spirit that came to empower me 38 years ago begins to work in their lives.
I don't tell many experiences like this, but the other night, and I'm not sure I told this publicly here, I may have, but the other night I went down to preach in Elaine's hometown. Actually, I yawned and passed through it, but I Bern, P-E-R-N-E, Bern, Indiana. And went down to preach there. And a young pastor in a town that nobody could build a fundamental church in has built a fundamental church in that town. Little town. How many people? 5,000 people in Bern? 3,000 people in Bern? About 3,000 people. And 2,999 of them are Mennonites. And this little old Baptist preacher hadn't learned you can't do it yet. And he went down there, and the guy's running 300, 400, sometimes 500, 600 in Sunday school down there in Bern, Indiana. And the fellow said, when I got there, he said, "Brother Dr. Howells," he said, "tell the story about your dad tonight." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Because my dad is like your dad was. My dad's unsaved and doesn't like churches and doesn't like preachers." And he said, "Please tell the story about your dad. My dad's here. Hadn't been in church in I don't know how many years. But he came tonight from down in Marion. He came tonight." And he said, "Please tell the story." And I said, "Son, I'm sorry," to the young preacher. I said, "I'm sorry. God's already told me what I'm supposed to preach about tonight. I know what I'm supposed to say, and it does not include my daddy's story." I walked in the service, and this young man introduced the visitors. And over here was a stern-looking man, tall fellow over here. And he said, "My father's here tonight," and his dad stood. And I could feel the burden of his heart for him. But I went ahead and preached what I was supposed to preach. Didn't say a thing about the gospel. After the service was over, I made a beeline to his dad. And I said, "Sir, my name is Jack Hiles." Acted like I didn't know who he was. Acted dumb, which is no problem for me at all. And I introduced myself. And I said, "Pastor's son, this is my father." "Oh, wonderful. I'm glad to see you." I said, "Where do you live?" He said, "Marion, Indiana." "Oh," I said, "are there any good fundamental churches in Marion?" He said, "I don't know." I said, "Well, where do you go to church?" He said, "I don't go to church." Sternly, "I don't go to church." And I said, "Well, don't go to church." Very stern talking. And I looked up at him and I said, "Sir, when I was a young preacher, not far from the age of your son, my daddy was not saved. And I said, my daddy died a drunkard's death. And I said, I hope you'll give your boy some memories. Or not let him have the memories that I have." And I said, "My daddy died suddenly when he was 62. And all of a sudden, the first expression came on that man's face. He said, "I'm 62. And I said, "Could I talk to you a few minutes, please?" We walked in the office and I told him the wonderful story of Christ. And that dear Holy Spirit who came on me 38 years ago tonight began to work. He bowed his head and prayed the sinner's prayer. And I said, "Would you tell your son you just got saved?" He said, "Sure." I went out and called the son from the auditorium. Son came in. I said, "Your dad's got something to tell you." And his dad said, "Son, I just accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior." And they hugged each other and rejoiced together and were having a big time together. And I told the pastor goodbye. He never heard me tell him goodbye. They were having a revival there. I just tiptoed out, got in the car. He hadn't told me goodbye yet. Don't know whether he knows I'm gone yet or not. Not sure he knows I was there. What am I saying? I'm saying, thank God. Thank God. I learned it. I learned it. How did I learn it? Affliction. My daddy died. The drunkard's death. I learned it. I knew it before. I mean, I had memorized it before. But I learned it. This doesn't mean affliction drove the psalmist to the Bible. But it says, "It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might know thy statute." It doesn't say, the psalmist isn't saying, "I got afflicted and had burdens and heartaches and that drove me to the Bible." No, he wrote much of the Bible. He'd already been in the Bible. He just hadn't known it yet. He had written some of it, and he had taught some of it, and he had studied some of it. But then the great teacher of affliction came, and he said, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might know thy statutes." You can read all the books on motherhood you want to read, ladies, unmarried ladies, and expectant mothers. You can read all the books on motherhood you want to, and by the way, you ought to, and learn everything you can about the love of a mother and how to be a mother. But you won't learn it from the books. But when that little child that came because you suffered. Lies in a hospital bed between life and death. The doctor says, as they said about our Becky one time, watch her little fingernails and see if her fingernails to be turned blue. If they do, call us quickly. And you watch that little one whom you carried in your own body, who got their first meal from your own breast. You watch them, and affliction comes. That's when you learn to be a mother. Read the books, but you learn to be a mother through affliction. You can read all the books on comfort you want to read. You can read all the books on how God comforts, and sometimes I think we have too many of them. All you want to, but you'll never learn the comforting of God till you walk away from the grave. And realize that down inside that ground, and I'll never forget 38 years ago today when I heard the thud of the dirt. I stayed there and I heard the thud of the dirt on my daddy's casket. And you walk away from the silent city of the dead. Flesh of your flesh and bone of your bone is there. And God comes, puts His arms of love around you and says, I love you and I'm your God. And the Holy Spirit says, I'm your comfort. That's when you learn about comfort. That's why Mama was so smart. Affliction. Heartache. That's why your Mama is so smart. You can read all the books about the grace of God that you want to read. And all the sermons you can hear about the grace of God you want to hear, and you will know what they say and know what the Bible says about it. But until you hear the doctor say, I want to talk to you, the tests are back, the disease is incurable, that's when you learn the grace of God. Last Thursday night, I preached in Richardson, Texas, for Brother Terry Smith. Our oldest daughter, Becky, is the pianist there, and her husband, Tim, is the principal of the school there. Our daughter, Linda, and son-in-law, Johnny, also live there. In that same city area anyway. And so Monday morning, I spent it with my daughters. Did something I hadn't done in a long time. I took till 2 o'clock in the afternoon just to see the girls. Linda began to tell me about little Melissa. Melissa was born with a club foot. And it was pretty bad when she was a child, and she had several surgeries. But now then, she's getting older. Just a few years, she'll be a teenager. One little leg, about a third the size of the other. And one little foot is four sizes. And I guess she's only 10 years old, maybe, 9 or 10. One little foot is four sizes smaller than the other little foot. And I looked at Linda. She's learned. That's the way you learn. I don't complain because of problems. That's the way I learn. I don't complain because of heartache. That's the way I learn. I don't complain because of battles. That's the way I learn. It is good, said the psalmist, for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Why was my mama so smart? Of course, her mama died when she was 9. She had to be the housekeeper. Why was my mama so smart? Of course, when she was 19, she had a little baby that couldn't walk or talk and was a spastic child. Through affliction, she learned. Why was my mama so smart? She sat beside that little spastic child for 7 years and watched her wilt away. That's why she was so smart. Why was my mama so smart? I'll tell you why she's smart, because at the age of 7, that little child died. Mama was afflicted again. That's why she was so smart. Why was my mama so smart? Because they had another child, a beautiful little girl named Hazel, and Hazel lived to be 7. One day she had the measles, and they thought she was about over them, and she said to mother, my mother picked her up and was hugging her, and Hazel said, Mommy, I feel like I'm going up in the air to be with Jesus, and she did. In mother's arms, she went to heaven. For the second time, they followed a hearse to Babyland. Why was my mother so smart? Afflictions. Why was my mother so smart? Because My mother and dad lost their little store in the Depression, lost everything they had. In fact, in Mother's last days, she'd talk about that store. She'd want to know if the store was being cared for. Is anybody at the store? Is the store being cared for? And they lost it. And she had affliction. Why was Mother so smart? Because my daddy turned to liquor, and the Depression took discouraged his heart and lost his store and everything. And for many, many years, my mother lived for fear of being hit with a big fist, a big giant of a man. And she had to sacrifice and do without. And for 14 years, no new dress and no new pair of shoes. That's why she was so smart. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Quit whining about your problems. That's what makes you learn. Quit whining about your suffering. That's what makes you learn. Why was my mama so smart? And that's why your mama is smart. She's smart because of affliction. So this morning, look the devil in the face. He thinks he's hurting you. Look him in the face and say, "Yeah, yeah, old smutty face. The fellow you sent to destroy me is teaching me. You sent to get me destroyed, but I'm just learning. Thank you for the free tuition." That's the way you learn. I'm not saying mama rejoiced when Lorraine died. I'm not saying mama rejoiced when Lorraine was they found she was afflicted. I'm not saying mama rejoiced when daddy went to liquor. I'm not saying she rejoiced when daddy left home. And I didn't either. But thank God, thank God, thank God for the teacher called affliction. The psalmist looked back over his life, and to tell you what, I wouldn't have time to tell you all the things this poor psalmist had gone through and was going through. I haven't got time to tell you all the heartache this man had and the load and the burden this man carried. I haven't got time to tell you that. We wouldn't have "the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want" if David hadn't been afflicted. We probably would never have read, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly," or "he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High." I'm simply saying that you can read all you want to about heaven, but you won't ever learn about heaven until you sit beside somebody that goes there. I watched my mama go to heaven. And some of you watched her. She died like a Christian's supposed to die. Up to the last time I saw her, she'd say, "Son, teach me some more about heaven." I'd sit there beside her and tell her about heaven and have a little Bible study. And I couldn't read it because I was weeping, and she couldn't read it because she couldn't see, and mother was almost blind, and I told her about heaven. But I learned. Don't you tell me there's no heaven. I learned there is. Don't you laugh and make fun and say, "Ah, that pie in the sky Christianity. You got a hole all the way through your head. I know better. I learned it. Saw it." Saw my little mama say, "Son, there's Jesus up there. Do you see him?" I saw my mama reunited with Hazel and Lorraine. I saw my mama when she looked up and saw Hazel and Lorraine from the hospital bed at Tiles Anderson College. I know what I'm talking about. I learned it. Thank God today for the victories and mountaintops and laughter and joy. But thank God for the afflictions. That's where I learned. I've read all this Bible. Last time I took count, I'd read this Bible through 60 some odd times. I've studied all this Bible. I mean it. There's not one verse in this Bible that I haven't studied. I mean, there's not a verse in this Bible, anywhere in this Bible, that I haven't taken down commentaries and the language. Not one verse in all the Bible that I haven't studied. I'm talking about take 30 minutes maybe for the verse. Not one verse in the Bible. I went through the whole Bible and studied every word and every verse in the Bible. I've studied it. I've memorized much of it. I've taught all of it. I've preached all of it. But thank God, I've learned much of it. I learned it not in seminary. I learned it not in systematic theology class. I learned it not in Bible class. I learned it not in Sunday school. I learned it when the great teacher of affliction came. And I sat down in the classroom of his school. And he taught me. That's where I learned it. I sat there the night across with some people very dear to me. And one little mother said to me something very sweet. She said, "Brother Hiles," she said, "we're going through the fire." And they are. She said, "We're going through the fire." She said, "I've heard you preach time and time again. But," she said, "until recently, I never learned what you say. I've always thought you were a good preacher, and I've always loved to hear you. And I've listened to your sermons, and but somehow I learn them now." I found out it was true. There's no way you could know all the burden of this room this morning. But you folks that have never known affliction, never known heartache, never known problems or battles, you're the ones I feel sorry for. Isn't that strange? You say, "Well, God bless poor Mrs. So-and-so. She's sure having it rough." You want to bet? Miss So-and-so is learning. And that's the way Mama learned. And that's the way your Mama learned. That's how your Mama got so smart. My Mama could cure anything. Anything. With coal oil and sugar. Coal oil was a Greek word for kerosene. Everything we had, coal oil did it. I mean, if you had a croup, you didn't take a penicillin shot. Hadn't heard about that. You put some coal oil or kerosene in a spoonful of sugar, and that cured it. And Mama had some medicine called black draught. They call it black draft now. It cured anything, falling hair to falling arches to my falling chest. It cured it all. Mama could cure anything. Ever hear of a mustard plaster? You ain't never suffered till you've had a mustard plaster. I mean, Mama'd take a bunch of that stuff and rub it on my chest. Of course, I mean, it wouldn't take several bottles now, this big massive thing you see here. But she'd rub it on my chest. And then she'd go get a towel and hold it over the stove until the little fuzz on the towel would begin to burn. And I'd watch that thing, and I knew what's going to happen. And I said, "Nearer, my God, to Thee. Lord, I'm coming home." And my Mama would bring that thing, and she'd and put that thing on my chest. That not only took all the congestion out of the chest, took the chest out. My Mama was so smart. And I went out this morning and thanked her. I love you, Mama. And I miss you. And I thank you. I thank you that you went to school. Oh, third grade's all you had in the public school, any organized school. But after you got out of that, you went to graduate school. I want to thank you for the school you went to, school affliction, that made you so smart. Sometime today, you thank your Mama. You thank your Mama. That's how Mama got so smart. Our Heavenly Father.